Welcome to the Women in Tech Weekly Remix episode.
3, 2, 1.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I.
To connect and collaborate with extraordinary women in tech around the world, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com.
The best business resource I have is my mentor's private Facebook group. I've never found a community that cares more about one another's success. It inspired me to create the same thing for podcasters. If you're a tech company or startup looking to grow your podcast audience, I created GetPodcastListeners.com, a private group specifically to discover how other podcasters have grown their audiences so we could do the same. Check out GetPodcastListeners.com. That's GetPodcastListeners.com.
My name is Charlene Gonda. I am a software engineer at Uber Eats. We deliver food. We are based in San Francisco, California.
I guess, so I took computer science as a major in college, but really I got interested in programming specifically in high school when they decided to first sort of establish this computer science class. And I found that I kind of had a knack for it, which was a fortunate sort of interesting discovery about myself. And so that's when I decided, oh, maybe I'll try to see if I should do a computer science major. And that's, I guess, how I got in.
And how'd it go from when you were a little girl, like being curious about the tech world to becoming a, like, transitioning into, take me back to the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe an interesting story too is when I was a little girl, I used to take my toys apart after I played around with it, especially the ones with the batteries. I loved to I found a screwdriver, and
right.
So I had it in my toy box, and I would just take apart all of my electronic toys.
Right.
But the problem was I would never be able to put them back together.
Right.
And so I sort of always had this impression that that the technology and hardware was kind of really hard.
Right.
And that I thought that it would not be something that I could do. But I was able to do programming, and so that was really cool, and I really loved coding.
How'd you discover programming and coding then? Like, you went from...
Well, it's because our high school sort of first established our computer science program, and then by the end of the year, when they were teaching it, the first year that I learned it, I was sort of able to really grasp the material pretty fast, and I was helping my fellow classmates to understand it as well. And so it was really cool to have found this skill that early in life, because then I was like, oh, well, I guess I could, this is a major that I could do, like, fantastic, like, it's fun, and like, I can actually study it for college. And so that's how I got into being a software engineer, and I worked for a couple of years before my current company as a software engineer, and I took a little detour actually as a developer advocate for Uber as well, and then I sort of went back to software engineering for Uber Eats, and so that's how sort of my software life came to be. But then one day, my coworker, when I was still a developer advocate, he asked me a question. He was like, "What if we could create a hat that lit up depending on the state of an Uber ride?" Now, a state of an Uber ride is like if you just requested or if you're waiting for your driver, that's another state.
Right.
And if you are in the car, that's another state. And so he was like, you know, what if, how can we teach people these states in sort of this fun way with a hat?
Right.
And I was like, sure, I guess you can do that. But I mean, I remember that I was like a software person. And
right.
Had always found hardware very intimidating because I broke a lot of things as a kid.
This is Marit Aleksandra-Silova from Swedbank, a large retail bank in the Baltics and Nordics. I'm the fintech community manager there, based in Riga, Latvia.
I think that it snowballed. So I don't know who the first person was, but it snowballed into knowing this whole community around the European ecosystem. But I absolutely adore Maria, who I know you're going to be talking with as well.
I adore her too.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And she helped me, like, she welcomed me into this new environment, and together we've been able to do so many amazing things. I'm really, really glad for to know her and the whole Textual family.
And what's the day-to-day look like for you in your role?
So on a daily basis, I mean, I do a lot of reporting and emailing because I do still work for a financial company. I go to conferences, but I do a lot of event organizing for ourselves as well. So it might be planning for an upcoming event. It might be finding mentors for our fintech accelerators. It's so diverse. But on a daily basis, my job looks a bit like sitting at a desk with an email. And so that takes up a bit of it.
What's one superpower you have that a lot of people, when they perceive you, it seems like it's super easy, but for you, you work really hard at making sure this thing is executed on?
Oh, that's very easy for me to answer. For me, that's public speaking and being on the stage, which I did yesterday.
We were just talking about that in another interview with Charlene. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so for me, it's like people perceive that I'm very natural and effortless on stage and like that I joke around and I'm fine. But actually, it takes me a lot of preparation. Like, I write down everything word for word. I make I spend days on my slides. And even at small events where I have to say 5 sentences, I rehearse for days in advance. Yeah.
And so I have the style of not rehearsing. And you rehearse. And I think both have pros. Like, my friend Charlie Hohen, he rehearses heavily, and he has the most amazing presentations. What would you say... how has rehearsing really saved you on stage?
Well, it really depends on the topic, because I think there's pros and cons to both. Like, when you don't rehearse, you're more natural and maybe don't get stuck if you forget one line and then you're like suddenly all your whole presentation goes to shambles.
Right.
But rehearsing really helps me understand that I need to be slower and I need to pause. And those are the two things, because I video record myself rehearsing. So to talk slower and to pause are two things that I've noticed from rehearsing. And also kind of to look how much I'm moving and how many hand gestures I'm making.
Oh, interesting.
Because a lot of people start dancing tango on stage when they're presenting. They start walking one step back and forth, and it makes the audience anxious.
Hi, this is Levi Parkon. I'm a member of the board at the Latvian Startup Association, unifying the Latvian startup ecosystem based in Riga, Latvia. Definitely, that was Textual. I just fell in love with the passion of the people here, because startup people are so different than other people in other industries. They are just so passionate and so open, and they constantly have new ideas, and they're so ready to help each other. And I think with Textual, a whole new world opened up, and we saw so much potential, not just for a few startups, but as for the country itself, and how we can help and how we can promote and how we can innovate, and how that actually helps not just those few companies, but for a small country itself.
And how did you discover Textual even to begin with?
How did I discover Textual?
Yeah.
As I said, over a beer with Maria. So.
Oh, wait. You knew Maria before Textual.
No, she asked me to help with Textual.
But how did you guys meet?
She had just heard that we had done a bit different of tech events. Previously, we had helped, and she needed some people to help her with. She was also doing this for the first time. And so she just called me up and said, I know you've done this other event just a few months ago, so you obviously have already some experience with tech events, and bring this kind of next step forward, and can you help? And so I agreed to help, and within just a few months, we understood that this is something we wanted to go, not just organize an event, but bring it to the next level and bring it to something completely different.
And what would you say is your secret superpower that possibly seems easy or simple to an outsider looking in? They think, oh, no big deal, she's just great at that. But for you, you actually put in a lot of soul, energy, spirit into this superpower in order for it to look so easy.
I think that it also relates to textual as well. Events in general seem easy for an attendee or from anyone from outside. But from the people inside, it's like 9 months at least of blood and sweat. It's actually sometimes even blood and sweat and tears.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's very easy to go to an event as an attendee. But textual is so much more than just an event. It's a nonprofit that works throughout the year. And they do events all over the year, and then they go over. We do events beyond borders at other countries where we represent Latvia, where we represent the Baltic ecosystem. We've been from London to San Francisco, going over and telling about what Latvia actually is. As you can imagine, maybe in San Francisco, it's like, what? Where is that? That's where. Okay, that's where Kristaps Porzingis comes from. So okay, that's we get that one.
The Women in Tech podcast is hosted and produced by me, Esprit Devora.
With help from Janice Geronimo.
Edited by Corey Jennings.
Production and voiceover by Adam Carroll.
And music from Jay Huffman Live and Epidemic Sound. The Women in Tech podcast is a WeAreTech.fm production.